Dang. Third time's the charm. Okay, I was wondering. Sheesh. Like I said, y'all, man, I ain't gonna sit here and lie to you, dog. I'm stressed right now, y'all. I'm stressed. Not like crazy stressed, but I'm stressed. It's stuff going on in the world. And that's the wild part. There's really stuff going on in the world. Got me, you hear me? I thought I was going to come on this pod and speak on something. I thought I was fitting to come on the pod and speak on something. Nah. It's things that's going on globally that's got me having to pump my brakes. Youngin got to hold off a little bit. Lord, keep me in your favor. Keep me in your grace. Keep me under your protection. You know what I'm aiming for. Grid day. It's crazy, but yeah. So I don't know if this is going to be a long pod. I don't know if this is going to be a short. I couldn't tell you, though. But let's get into some white soul, man. Just to, you know what I'm saying, wake it up out there.
I'm fighting for you, Jack.
I need that. Somebody fight for me.
Put on my blue suede shoes and boarded the plane.
Touchdown in the land of the Delta.
We back, baby. It's another week's worth of wildin'. Wake it up out there. Keep it strong on a Monday. Let your pace be what it's supposed to be. You make it to Friday. Good God.
As blue as a boy can be. But I'm walking in Memphis. Just walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis. But do I really feel the way I feel?
Yeah!
Saw the ghost of Elvis.
Fought that nigga though.
On you never knew. Follow him up to the gates of Graceland. And I watched him walk right through.
What y'all know about this? That
security did not see him.
He had a paid off.
They just hovered around his tomb. But there's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room. When I was walking in Memphis, I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis.
Get into one more. Let me get. I almost don't want to cut this off.
They've got catfish on the table.
Okay, talk that talk, Mark. You know how we doing it in the South.
They've got gospel in the
air. Praise God. Praise God.
They bought from Virginia.
Green, be glad to see you when you haven't got a prayer. Boy, you got a prayer in Memphis.
Niggas got a prayer in Memphis. Yeah, let's get on to a little bit more of this. Why you hear me? It's your one and only favorite Wody. Back for another one. This is the Wildin' for Respect podcast. Holla at me.
A little too tall, could've used a few pounds.
Tight pants, points, hollering out.
She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes
and points all her own.
Hold up.
Sitting way up high.
Hold up. Was my boy Bob fucking on black women? Huh? She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes? I don't know too many white folk with brown eyes.
Well, firm and high. Cornfields where the woods got heavy. Out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy. Working on mysteries without any clues. Working on our night moves. Trying to make some front page driving news. Working on our night moves.
sword. And we steal away every chance we could, to the back room, to the alley, or the trusty woods. I used our shields, me, but neither one cared. We were getting our share, working on our nightmares, trying to lose a awkward teenage.
Used to be grooving, dog. They really used to be. One time for Big Barbara, man. One time for that boy Barry, man. Big Gib on the drum. Wordy, yeah. I swear to God, at this part we gonna start.
Little by little, we
oh my mama,
middle,
we gonna start at this part. Bitch, it ought to be illegal, yeah.
Make it a crime. With the love you're building up, you gotta be mine. We take it away. It's gotta be night and day, just a matter of time. And we got nothing to be guilty of. Our love will climb any mountain, near or far.
All right. I promise you. I ain't gonna get caught up in the loop.
I heard they wildin' for
best in the list on Gizmo.
I heard they been wildin' for.
Oh yeah!
What's up, folk? It is your one and only favorite Wody Jacka Jack, just another nigga with no bitches and an opinion, and I've been wildin' for respect.
Yeah, dogs, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I'm stressed, man. I'm stressed. I'm almost mad at my nigga Bob. I'm really kind of mad at my nigga Bob. Like, what'd you have to tell me for, man? Now these next few weeks just about to be, you feel me? Like, great day. What y'all mean? Niggas is cutting off. What y'all mean? Y'all terminating the agreement. What y'all mean? Y'all want it affected immediately. What y'all saying? Nah, it ain't supposed to be like that. It ain't supposed to be like that, man. It ain't supposed to be like that. Great day. Whatever, dog. Whatever. How y'all doing, man? How y'all feeling today? How was y'all St. Patty's Day weekend? Mine, I ain't do nothing because I've been tripping. I've been tripping these last month. I've been wilding out every weekend, doing the utmost. And I damn near did it last night again. Friday, I knew I was going to chill out. But Saturday night, fool, I almost hit it. I went to the strip club. Got drunk at the crib. Had about 4 or 5 beers. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the strip club, but I'm only going to take a few. I'm only going to take a little bit of money, though. Nothing crazy, but I feel like getting out the house. I'm going to go to the strip club, but I'm going to risk it. I'm going to do what, you know what I'm saying? I pulled up in that motherfucking sweat, tripping. Because I'm already knowing how to. I'm trying to get it done the right way. You hear me? I was trying to get it done the right way. I pulled up in that joint in sweats. I should have pulled up in sweats last weekend because that's when I was really tripping. That's when I really had some money in my pocket doing the most. I get up there to try to get a little mama my ID. Oh, yeah, now we don't let people in with sweats. I'm sorry. This is the dress code right here is relatively extensive. It had hella shit in there. I tell you this. I won't say that. I was going to say that the dress code was definitely meant to keep niggas out. Is it meant to keep niggas out? Yes, of course. But it's also meant to keep them hood-ass Mexican niggas out, too. Them niggas got tats on their neck. Them niggas be rocking golds. Them niggas be coming through with the crazy baggy pants. Like, yeah, them niggas be looking like they ready to start some goddamn trouble, too. No lie. So, Nah, their dress code definitely ain't just for niggas. It's, their dress code is just for a group of individuals. No matter what your skin complexion is, nigga, if you fit the criteria on this long-ass list, no, you can't come up in here. You can't come up in here. So I was like, cool, don't even worry about it. Don't even trip. I'm just going to take me a seat over here in the lobby, wait for my Uber to come. I'm going to be out. Don't even trip. Don't even worry about it. I ain't had no business being up here in no place. Let me just bite the bullet for these Ubers. As soon as I get dropped off, I'm getting picked right before I back up. It is what it is. But let's get into topic number one. A topic that I love to speak on shit like this because, well, y'all already know how I'm rocking. Y'all already know how I feel about my boy.
Game. I am, but not Andalusian. Mm. You're saying I didn't invent every style of music of the past 20 years. I created the genre. I created weekend genre, Trav, Drake, you know, everybody. I'm going to say With All Love, Future and Thug also because the auto-tune album, 808s. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, think about Trav, Weekend, and Drake, but no one thinks about Future and Thug also, the auto-tune album. Now, everyone, they added what it was to it, but here's a new genre. It's called Making Your Own Money genre. And of this music game, I am.
Now, folk had a lot to say about that. We was in the group chat talking about it. The homies already know how I'm coming. I ride with my boy, Yay. Always and forever. But I like to think that I keep it pretty clean, pretty fair across the board. Ye is for sure an influence. Has he created every genre over the past 20 years of music, especially rap music and shit like? No, obviously not. But
his
ability to enhance things that are already there, it's so top tier. It's such an impeccable skill that it's like, damn, he might as well had created it. Sampling's been around since the beginning of hip hop. Since the beginning of hip hop, sampling has been around. Everybody been sampling. But when this fool Ye came through and started, when he came through and started sampling, like, it's, I will never forget hearing Comfortable by Wayne. If you haven't heard Comfortable in a while, let's just play just a little bit. And honestly, what's crazy is I probably don't even have this in my iTunes because I'm such a flipping loser. But I should have Comfortable in here. I got every mixtape Wayne got, but I ain't got the Carter 3. That's crazy. Oh, yeah, I do got the Carter 3. I'm tripping. Where is it at? Where's Comfortable at? Because, baby girl, don't you ever get to.
Yeah.
Comfortable came out in what? 2007, 2008. Hold on. Let me just go back to Wayne's shit right quick just to see when that dropped. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because when I realized, yes, 2008, when I realized, I was like, yo, hold on. Are you kidding me? Comfortable came out in 2008. This song comes out in 2003. I didn't even know Ye made this. But then to come to find out that bro out here sampling his own shit just to further make it's. Obviously, we love this song. But who the hell knew? I didn't know until I heard Comfortable. And then I just so happened to listen to this song again around the same time. Obviously, I heard You Don't Know My Name when it first came out. It's 2003. Of course, I heard it. But for whatever reason, I don't think I ever paid attention to the ending. Yeah, sampling been around forever, but this is Kanye West. Damn, he created sampling. He responsible for it. He responsible for it. Because when you doing stuff like this, bro, you get those kind of rights. You get those rights. Now that's just the sampling era. Now this is when, for me, when I knew Ye was crazy. And this is what's so wild about it. See, and I feel like, I'm sure people don't know this because anytime Ye come up, I'm dick riding. Come on, man. I might as well be Sarah J. Sarah J. I'm just playing. Relax. Stop. It won't that deep. It won't even that deep. Chill out. But I say all this to say, I be very objective when it come to Ye. I remember. I remember being in middle school when late registration dropped, sitting in science class or civics class with the homegirl, Maritza, and we talking about the album, and I'm saying, this album is tight. I love it. But the bars fell off from College Dropout. Motherfuckers be talking about, oh, Ye don't be rapping. Ye ain't been rapping since College Dropout. Ye has not been giving us crazy bars, nothing like that, since College Dropout. We talking middle school. I remember this, dog. I remember this. I'm objective when it comes to Ye. I was not feeling 808s when it first came out at all. 808s came out in what? Did that come out in 2008 as well? When did 808s come out? I believe that came out in 2008. I didn't hear 808s, the whole 808s album, until when did it drop? 2008. I didn't hear 808s until around 2011. 2010, 2011. And the reason why I bring it up is because I had put 808s in my beautiful dark twisted fantasy, excuse me, on my MP3 player. And I was just like, but I was just letting them run. My mom had just bought My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy or something like that. So I just, you know, ripped it off the joint, downloaded it onto the computer, and then just put it onto my MP3 player. And since I seen she had 808s and I hadn't heard it, I just put it there. So when I'm listening, like, I don't know what song is from which album, for real. Like, I don't know. But when I'm listening to it, I'm like, damn, okay. Like, as I go back, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, a lot of these songs from 808s, like, I was rocking with. Like, I liked. And then what really let me know that this nigga Ye was crazy is my mom had, this is probably one of the best gifts my mom ever gave me. At the time, my mom knew that I was just, like, in love with this song. With this right here. This was just like my favorites. Why did I love this song so much? I could not tell you why I love this song so much. But this was my joint. This comes out in 2000. This song dropped in 2009. I didn't even know Lungs came out in 2009.
Happiness.
Hey, we're gonna let this run just a little bit. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about this, how I'm feeling on this pod. We still gonna get back to it, but you know what I'm saying?
She hid around corners and she hid under beds. She killed it with kisses and from it she fled. With every bubble she sank with a drink and washed it away.
Fucking Tyco drums. Are you kidding me? So, I'm in love with this song. Like, this joint is just hard. But for me, it's just a song that I really, really like. The same way I really, really like Panda Go to Disco. I chimed in with a haven't you people ever heard of? Closing the goddamn door. Not like, you know. Every black person, we all got the, you know, every now and then white folk come out with one of them joints. Every now and then white folk come out with one of them joints and we just can't, it's one of them. So that's all this was for me. This was just a one-off, like, oh, damn, this, this song hard. Like, this is one of my joints. No intent, no interest whatsoever in trying to listen to any other thing that she's ever put out. No, nothing. All I knew was Florence and the Machine has a song called Dog Days Are Over. I really, really like it. I'm at the crib one day. Mom walks in. Hey, I got you some. Oh, word, for sure. It's a CD. What CD is it? Oh, I got a CD of your girl. I'm like, who? She like, the girl with the song. Dog with the, you know. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, oh, dang, all right, cool, Mom. Like, for sure. Like, all right. Like, I'm going to peep it. See what it's hitting on. Dog, when I mean to tell you to this day, Florence and the Machine, Lungs, is in my top 10 albums of all time. Honestly, I could probably really name y'all my top 10 right now. Maybe not in order, but I probably could give you my top. Matter of fact, let me just try it. Brown Sugar D'Angelo, College Dropout, Mary J. Blige, Share My World, Florence and the Machine, Lungs, Young the Giant, that's five, so now I need five more. 112, Part 3, 112 Part 3, let's go. Did I already say Kanye West, College Dropout? Kanye West, College Dropout, Juel Santana, From Me to You. And these next two, I'm just going to throw something out there because I can't really think of it. Drum, Big Baby Drum, and let's go with, God, I wish I could name some mixtapes, but I can't, because then I had to put in some other shit. So because I can't name Crenshaw, I'm going to use an album that I called my Crenshaws. Like, this was my 2017 Crenshaw. This was my 2018 Crenshaw. Because in 2014, I really ran Crenshaw for a whole year. So Big Baby Drum was one of those Crenshaw albums for me. And now I'm going to say Frank Ocean Blonde. Though the last two could be argued. They're probably debatable if I really was to just go through some shit. But yeah. So yeah, there was my top 10 right there. I know that was a sidetrack. I apologize. I bring up again Florence and the Machine, Lungs, because when I heard the album, it was so amazing. The sound, the instrumentation, the arrangement, those taiko drums, those flipping harps. Oh my God. And again, this was 2010, 2011 when I heard the album. Yeah, it was definitely 2010. It was 2010 when Mom's caught me the album. So I'm deep, heavy into rap shit. Like, I'm eat, breathing, and sleeping trying to be a rapper at this age, at 19 years old. And I'm just taking influence from everything. Like, if anything, that's what I really, like, I was listening to some of my old shit yesterday, and I'm just listening, and I'm like, bro, like, I was so much more skilled and tighter as a rapper back then. I really fell off. Well, because I really fell off. Like, now I don't even rap anymore. I might rap once every 2 months or something like that. Back then, a nigga was really writing and rapping every single day. And if I wasn't writing and rapping every single day, I was rapping to the instrumentals of the songs that I just haven't recorded every single, like, I'm just, again, I couldn't help but be good. And even back then, I realized, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm low-key better than this nigga. I'm better than this nigga. Like, they bars might be a little cool, might be a little better and whatever, but on the real, like, I'm really much iller than these niggas. And I knew it because I really felt in my heart like, oh yeah, these niggas ain't rapping the way I'm rapping. Like, I'm really doing this shit every single day. And I could see it. Like, I really could see it. Like, oh damn, like I'm really getting better. Anyways, I'm taking influence from everything. So when I hear this, I'm thinking in my head, what sound? How can I do some shit that sounds like this? Because I know there ain't no rapper. There's no rapper that's making like a rap version of this. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that. I want to be the nigga to do that. Wrong. Who was doing that? He just dropped the album. It was called My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. It was My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And it was at that moment. It was literally at that. Don't get me wrong. I've been loving Ye. But it was almost like my Laker fandom. I became a Laker fan in 2000, 2001. Just off of hype. Just off of bandwagon, for real. I had told a story before. My dad and one of my older sisters kind of clowned me into being a Laker fan. Because they were Laker fans. It was just they was just shitting on me so hard because of this and that. I had already told the story. When Kobe was talking about leaving the Lakers, if Kobe would have left, I would have left with him. And I wouldn't have been a Laker fan anymore. But he stayed. He stayed. And then we won a chip. And then we repeated. I'm a Laker for life now. At this point, it's not even about Kobe anymore. It's not even about Kobe anymore. And even though that did really add to me being a Laker fan because of just the Kobe and LeBron shit and having to fight my way through high school with that. But at this point, it's not Kobe. It's just Kobe's just there. He just makes it even better for being a Laker fan because he's just a great Laker. But I'm a Laker fan now. I'm not just a Kobe fan that plays for the... No, I'm a Laker fan. And Kobe's on the Lakers. That's where I'm at with it. That's how I was for Ye. Of course I love Ye with College Dropout. Of course I loved Ye with Late Registration. Of course I loved Ye with Graduation. 808s came out. Nigga, I was not... Nigga, what? You thought I was riding around playing Heartless? You thought I was really feeling Love Lockdown? Hell no. Hell no. I said, oh, hell, this nigga, yeah, off the shit. He off the shit. I do not give a fuck about 808s. I ain't never played that shit, nigga. I was playing Boosie. Fuck what he talking about. But when I heard Lungs and was thinking what I was thinking, just to finally hear... Just to finally hear My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy in 808s and realize that this nigga Ye was already on it, I said, oh, damn. Oh, God. This nigga is a monster. This nigga is really a monster. Nobody before Ye was blending genres the way that he... Bro... He is the reason why rap music is so grand now. If it wasn't for... He the reason why. He the reason why. The man is just... So that's one part. Then we get to Yeezus. A lot of people didn't like Yeezus. I loved Yeezus. I remember listening to Yeezus and Born Sinner on the same day. I went to Best Buy, caught both of them, listened to both of them back to back. I loved Yeezus. I remember after listening to Born Sinner and thinking to myself, oh, this sounds like a good mixtape. This don't sound like a
like a really dope album from J. Cole. Not like a classic, not to what I'm used to hearing. Not like The Warm Up or Friday Night Lights. Jesus Christ, definitely not like Friday Night Lights. I'm used to hearing Cole on that kind of level. This don't sound like, these last two albums have not been in, they don't feel like those levels. Like, granted, those are mixtapes. So mixtapes back then always was just going to hit a little different. Because there was just a freedom to the mixtape that could really let the artist just push it. You know what I'm saying? But there still was a difference between how great your mixtape sounded and the leeway we can give you on your album and how your album should sound. What I'm expecting it. And it didn't sound like that. But to this day, Yeezus is still very heavy on the influence. I mean, Jesus. Travis Scott just dropped Utopia. It sounded, it had Yeezus written all over it. Yeezus handprints was all over that album. It's crazy. Then he drops The Life of Pablo. I won't necessarily say that was so groundbreaking or anything to that, you know, anything to that extent, but it was quite amazing. It's pretty good. I think that as time goes on, maybe when it's all said and done and the dust is settled, that people really might look at The Life of Pablo as a classic. I wouldn't be surprised. Don't get me wrong. There's people that will say that it's a classic now. You might be able to argue that I'm one of those people. Maybe. But I would not be surprised if in general consensus in due time that people look back on The Life of Pablo and be like, oh, nah, like, Ye really went crazy on that. Then we get to Donda. Bro, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We haven't even seen the effects of what Donda's going to do yet. But the way that Ye keeps a hit, the way that he keeps a hit even right now with Carnival being number one, and the fucking master class that he put on with sound on Donda, I would not be surprised either if we start to look back and be like, oh wow, this art, you can tell that they really grabbed from Donda. Now, in terms of who Ye is a father to, Drake, Travis, Cudi. Even though Cudi, you know, he had his hands on 808. But I would have to be there to see it on just how innovative Cudi's influence was on 808s. If you gonna ask me, I'm gonna say all the ideas for the most part came from Ye. And Ye just understood who could help execute some of these ideas the best. And Cudi just so happened to be one of the minds and voices that could do that. But, and before I get on to this next, because I'm sorry, guys. I know I've been rambling. I know, I'm sure niggas don't want to hear a whole fucking Ye podcast, but I could do a Ye podcast. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe I should break this up and just have a 40-minute podcast and just like, oh, yeah, this is the Ye podcast. And record another one like tomorrow or in the middle of the week or some shit like that. But the only other person, in my opinion, that could say what Kanye is saying and has a pretty good claim to it, but still, in my opinion, not as big as the share of the pie isn't going to be as large as Kanye's. Kanye probably has a majority share, 65% of the pie. The other 35 goes to Wayne. That's where I think, like them niggas were saying on the JBP, this nigga, yeah, like, we don't want a modest Ye. Is Ye putting a little too much dip on his chip? For sure. But who the fuck wants Ye to come through and say, well, but really, I'm a, no. We want full tilt Ye. We want Ye to always go too far. He went too far saying thug and future. That's Wayne. That's Wayne. He probably went too far even saying The Weeknd. But to Joe's point, or maybe it was Parks' point of, like, him bringing up The Weeknd and shit like that is probably more so like family tree. Like, I'm responsible for Drake for the most part, whatever the case may be. I'm responsible for Drake and his sound. His sound is responsible for The Weeknd. So, obviously, that's going to have a little effect on me as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still going to be there. That's like a nigga having a baby with a white chick. Like, yeah, you're going to see that my baby going to be mixed. Then if my baby have a baby with a white chick or another mix, like, they blackness is going to be a little water, but it's still, you still going to see where that blackness came from when they look down the family tree. And who's standing there? My black ass. It's my black ass. So, yeah. Go ahead and give me that, too. Go ahead and give me that, too. You hear me? So, I think that's really where Ye, I think I agree with Parks on that point, if that's where he was coming from with that. So, yeah, let me play this one more time before I get up out of here.
Damn, but not Andalusian. Mm. You're saying I invented every style of music of the past 20 years. I created the genre. I created Weeknd genre, Trav, Drake. You know, every, I'm going to say, with all love, Future and Thug. Also, because the Auto-Tune album, 808s. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, no one think about it. Everybody think about Trav, Weeknd, and Drake, but no one thinks about Future and Thug. Also, the Auto-Tune album.
And people will say, well, what would T-Pain have to say about that? Or, again, what would Wayne have to say about that? I think Wayne could have something to say about that. I don't believe T-Pain could have anything to say about that, because won't his first album called Rapper Turned Singer or some shit like that? Like, what? Like, I don't know. We always looked at T-Pain as a singer. So him having the auto-tune is like, yeah, you brung in the auto-tune. Like, niggas was not on auto-tune before you was on auto-tune. That's for sure. Then Wayne started using auto-tune and Kanye started using auto-tune, but Ye was the first one to really kind of go full-fledged into the auto-tune for real, for real. But because of the style of music that Wayne made, I think he has more claim to the auto-tune influence than Kanye does. I think he has more, if I'm being honest, I think he has more claim to that. But anyways.
You better wrap that gavel up, B.
And speaking of Kanye, we definitely ain't gonna stay on this long, but
mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, so you didn't get any credit or no points on the Nicki Monster thing.
I don't think so.
You should have got something.
I should have got $20 million for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but I didn't get nothing. I should have got money for the wax figure that didn't get nothing. I didn't get any money from anything. Like, I should have, I should have been compensated in some way for using my likeness in so many songs and the wax figure. I had a guy come up to me like, I was one of the people that created the wax figure of you. And I'm like, no one hit me up and said, is this okay? Can we pay you to use your likeness? Nothing. Like that, I mean, that is pretty up.
And yet you still give grace though.
I give grace for my mental health, mm-hmm. not for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You not getting no goddamn 20 million. If you deserve $20 million, does Chris Rock deserve $20 million?
You deserve $20 million for Paranoid because you was on the intro of Paranoid? No! Be quiet, Amber. Your compensation was you was with Ye. And what's up top? Two bee stings. Come on now. We not doing that. We not doing that, Amber. Relax. $20 million off of... Girl, you was an amazing muse. A great inspiration. The compensation just ain't gonna add up, though. Not no 20 million, little mama. Just because she on there talking about some Yeezy taught me. We not doing that. Nah, that's crazy. Nah, like I said, we ain't gonna stay on that long. Nah, that was just crazy. She said I deserve $20 million off the goddamn UE. We not doing none of that, dog. For real. But on to another topic. How do y'all feel about this? This is crazy. And I done told this story so many times. And I have to tell it again. The escape fund. I called, bruh. Sir, is this so-and-so that stays in so-and-so? Could you use a little back, what they call it? The backsplash. Do you need a new roof? What you need, bruh? Man, I ain't gonna sit here and lie to you. I'm not even gonna waste your time. I'm going through a divorce. My money is tight. If I didn't see how that shit affected my pops, I wouldn't even have cared less and would have kept pressing, bruh. But I seen firsthand what a divorce can do to a nigga mentally. How that shit can stress a nigga out. So I believed him. Off the rip. Don't even worry about it, bro. Don't even trip. It's all love. I ain't even gonna bother you. I just got one question. Was it worth it? Would you do it again? Bro said, nah. Bro told me what happened. Fam said he would never expect his wife. He ain't never expected his wife to be what I look like going through my wife's phone and shit. What, nigga? We got kids. We got 20 years in the game. Man, that's my bitch. Man, I love my wife. And she loved me. Until she went to Vegas and I seen a safe wide open, wondering what it was in the closet. Come to find out, she been writing and saving letters from a nigga in prison for 20 years. Putting money in the side. Whole separate account. I'm hot, kids hot, niggas trying to wonder what's going on. That escape plan. For when Buddy got out, she was going to him. It's crazy.
You have to understand that if you're not looking at your finances, anything could be going on with
it. So basically, don't marry a thieving woman.
She's a thief, bro.
It was their joint account. He's married to the woman and she's hot. She's pulling money out.
Yo, it was a joint account.
No, he married, bro. He married a woman and said, I trust you with
a joint. This. A joint account. What the fuck a joint account got to do? What? A joint account? What that got to do with anything? If it's a joint account and we married and we as one, you putting away this lady in context, guys. An escape savings. Woman had $47,000. That's what she was pulling from the account. If we as one and we married, what? What? This ain't 1960. This ain't 1970. You guys can go get a job. If everything fails between us, you are not going to be hurt that bad. That the whole time we married, you just thinking and plotting and ready for when the shit go left. And you the one that's probably going to choose when the shit go left. You the one that's probably going to press the issue. I'm working. You didn't gain weight, but I'm stuck with you. I'm cool. I ain't tripping. I didn't accept it. I'm a creature of habit. Maybe I'm wrong. It's content. We here. I ain't trying to go nowhere. So what the fuck you thinking about? Because I ain't going nowhere unless you cheat on me. So why can't you, $47,000? You got $47,000. Why can't you tell me what you're doing with $47,000? It's a joint account.
With the finances. Don't worry about shit. I'm going to work. I'm going to trust you with the finances. So if I put my trust in you to make sure that you keep the finances and you pulling money out on the low for years, you're stealing.
It's not stealing.
It's stealing.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's the wrong word.
Because I trust you not to do it.
It's not stealing.
I trust you to maintain the finances and put them where they belong. Not for you to duck them off in an escape account.
It's not stealing.
Well, yeah, just to be like accurate, to have she is.
What he brings in.
Okay, but
wouldn't that be her fund then? She didn't need an escape account.
I was about to say, okay, so that is part of it. I feel like where she's going wrong.
Escape account negates the fact that she's married and she's going to get half anyway. I think the fact that she's labeling it an escape account is, I think that's the shady part. Mm-hmm. But she could have said rainy day.
It did say rainy day.
Okay. No, not to him.
But, no, I think either way. It said both. But I want to point this out. At the end of the day, you were saying you're blaming friends and mothers and this, that, and the other. At the end of the day,
it's not on them.
Exactly. It's on her. She took that information and did what she wanted to do. It has nothing to do with her mom or sisters or whoever given information that you may deem as bad.
Because she could have easily said, "Mom, mind your business."
Or she could have said, "I appreciate you."
Exactly.
You know,
some people don't make decisions.
Imagine being with a woman.
So look.
Imagine, bro, that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, and I be telling folk, like, I was just playing one of my songs yesterday, "Pray I Never Make It." Truthfully, Lord knows I just want a wife, but I can't help but wake up and think I need a mic. Again, guys, this is just in my younger days. This is how much I was on this rap shit. Lord knows I just want a wife. And that's the truth. You know how they say girls grew up with the fantasy of getting married and all this and that shit? I ain't had no fantasy of getting married and all, but at the same time, From a teenager, I knew, like, I look forward to that day. It's not, I didn't give a fuck about the wedding, whatever the case, like, but I look forward to the family aspect. That's what I look forward to. That's when I say, Lord knows, I just want a wife. Because really, I'm saying, Lord knows, I want a family. I want to be able to look like, damn, this is my family. That's my wife right there. Them our kids. Them our kids. Imagine, bro. But then she got moms, she got aunts, sister that's just steady putting shit in her head of like, but just in case, like it ain't 2024, bitch, you ain't already working. Or maybe she not working. Maybe this nigga, I don't know. Maybe I should go and find the original. Because I do remember reading this. And what had happened was how it came up that the wife had the $47,000 was, because I think she was the one that made the video asking if she was an asshole. The husband had like got, he had got into an accident or something like that at work, hospital bills stacking up, whatever the case may be, blah, 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 blah. So things was a little rough for a little bit. And she was saying that downsizing, the husband was like, hey,
maybe we should downsize for a little bit. But for her, no, that's not an option. I'm not downsizing shit. Like Chris Rock said, once a woman can't go back in lifestyle, a man can't go back in sex. If she was dating a nigga that ain't have a car and then she started dating a nigga with a car, she not finna go back and dating a nigga without a car. If I was dating a bitch that didn't give head and then I started dating a bitch that loved nothing else but to suck a dick, I can't go back to a bitch that don't be sucking dick. And if I do go back to a woman that don't be sucking dick, goddamn it, somebody gonna be sucking my dick. That's just what it's gonna be. Cause I know what it's like to have a good, clean dick suck. And I miss it. So because they couldn't downsize, the husband took on a second job just to keep everything up. But then he came back to the wife and was like, yo, this shit, like this two job shit is just killing me. And blase blah. And I think she might have offered to get a job or something like that. Like I said, I'd have to see it again because I can't remember exactly what it was. But long story short, the husband started going through the finances and was just seeing withdrawals, a certain amount of withdrawals going to an account or whatever. It was just relatively consistent just over some years. Just over some years to the lump sum of $47,000. And I think what had happened was when the bills and stuff was coming through, the hospital bills and stuff like that was coming through, buddy trying to do all this and that, trying to figure out how to just keep everything afloat. And not once ever did La Mama even offer, like, hey, I got all this money put up over here. Don't even worry about it. I can chip in. Never even offered it up because that ain't your money. That ain't your money and that ain't our money. That's my money for when I decide I'm gonna get up out of here. Because either I don't like your black ass no more, maybe your stupid ass and got caught cheating, maybe Alden went crazy, got drunk, he didn't put his hands on her, some stupid shit like that, so now she out. That's my shit. So that's how it came out. So it's just crazy to think, like, that's the kind of things that could be in a woman's head when they find out that, or just when parents and outside influences is just, hey, make sure you, again, that's like, that's such an old way of, even just that advice is just some old shit. Y'all talk about how y'all ain't your grandmas and you ain't your nannies and you ain't your mamas and y'all ain't this and that because, oh, they couldn't do this back in the day because they weren't working. So they had to put up with granddaddy stuff and this and that because blase, blase, blah. So how come you still taking that old ass advice then about saving some goddamn money? Because he was coming through working and giving her the check. When it's 2024 and for the most part, you know your ass is working. That's the reason why you're not fucking with an average Joe. Because you working. And you probably got a good job. So you need a nigga, if you making $60,000, you need a nigga making at least 80. You can't date no nigga making 50, 45,000. You making 60. So I need a nigga making at least 60. At least. And really, I don't want a nigga making the same level as me because now the nigga making the same level as me. Like, I want a nigga that I can try to boss around but not really have too much merit in it. Nigga, if we both making the same thing, nigga, I really, truly feel in my heart that it ain't shit you can tell me. Because who are you? You just a nigga making $60,000. I'm a bitch. I can do that. You ain't special. Crazy.
Look, although yes, there is a level of accountability for the person who does make the decision when they are ultimately the only one in control of that decision. I agree. However, there is a level of influence. And if you are under the influence and you do make a poor decision, then that person who influenced you is part to blame. Not whole, but part to blame. And literally, like, the way I look at both of it is, like, the mother's a co-conspirator. Like,
well, that's how I look at it.
They were a thief. The mom is a co-conspirator, and she really
crazy.
But the man is not taking accountability.
Her mom said, "Go kill that man." You think the mom is getting locked up?
They share, yeah. That's not taking accountability.
No, he did not have access to it.
He said he know he found out because he went into the account.
She had her own account that she was putting money into. If you're my wife, or even if you're not my wife, whoever you are, and I say, "Hey, you're the you."
No, that's great. Why are you yelling at us? Like, because y'all got me hot. Because y'all got me hot. Because I'm sitting here on a panel with women that would, like, what? That, y'all, that would be like if we were talking about rape or molestation or some crazy shit like that. And niggas on the panel like, look, well, they got to take some accountability. The kids got to take some accountability. The woman's got, like, what? Y'all going to be hot because y'all... I'm sitting on a panel with niggas like, what? That's why he hot, because I'm sitting on this panel with women that sound like y'all down for the same shit. Y'all think y'all would rock with this. Y'all co-signing this. That's why I'm yelling. I'm like, y'all niggas got me hot.
You run the cashier to my storefront, right? You're the cashier. All the transactions are going to come to you, but you're pulling money out the register. Stealing from the business.
That just goes back to integrity. And I just think is
no, it's not, because he's giving her money from the business.
They don't have entitlement to the money from the business.
Her integrity is questionable.
That's the stealing part.
Yeah, that's from a business.
Stupid or dumb on
then that's stealing.
The business is a whole separate entity.
Where did they get the money from?
Him.
Where did they get the money from?
Him.
His business. They got the money from his business. The n had a business. And then his business, he was giving her the money to run the finances.
No.
Okay, so where did the money come from?
That's different, bro.
Where did the money come from, bro?
You can't be yelling.
Where did the money come from?
Show's yelling.
Where did the money come from? Where did it come from?
Okay, if you're trying to say that where she stole the money from his job, that's
the
not.
The money came from his business. He had a business. Once he had the business, she ran the finances, okay? That means she's taking money from him and or the business.
You have to understand that if you're...
It's a cold game that we living in 2024, man. And it's crazy. I'm single now because I'm just like... One, because I'm broke. That's why I'm single. Two, it's because I'm out here trying to make... Again, reason why I'm a little stressed. Because I'm out here trying to take steps to level up. So I can, you hear me? But to do all of that just to maybe come across a woman that think that shit like this is cool. My mom told me something yesterday that made me think about something that my pops went through. And I'm not necessarily going to get into it, but it has just things to do with just how women will treat men and finance and just like not even get like, bro, it's just kind of crazy. It's just kind of crazy to think. And it's like, bro, like what is that? What is everything for? What are you doing as men? Like, what are we doing it all for? Just like, because you just never know. You just never know. You thinking everything's sweet. You thinking shit sweet, my nigga. You with your girl, you love her. Your guard is completely let down. You wide open. Yes, she get on your nerves sometimes. Probably a lot of times, but that's my baby. And she loved me too. But to what extent? Is the love strong enough on her end that she might think, nah, this is maybe a little extra. This is a maybe. Hell nah. She loved me in the way that she loved us. I love me the way that I love her. Like, and maybe that didn't make sense, but what I'm saying is, Lord bless me. I'm saying that to say, even as no matter how much a woman love you, it's never going to be put before her. She'll love you like a motherfucker. Niggas has been rapping all these years talking about the bitch going to take the charge, man. You a lie. Bitch ain't taking no charge for you. And if she do, that's because she's stupid. So maybe that's the give and take. Maybe you got just a fucking dipshit of a woman that would be that stupid to not put herself first. Or she's smart enough to put herself first and she plotting and running game the whole goddamn time. And you a straight up nigga. You a square, do your job, you're working, trying to do this and that. You're not cheating. Maybe you are, but you ain't. But for women, that's, man, it's just scary to think. That shit's scary to think. It's really scary to think. But yeah, be safe out there, fellas.
Better wrap that gavel up, B.
Last and final topic. This was a funny one. This was a funny one, and it's true. And I feel like it shouldn't apply to me.
To a TikTok more in my life.
I remember when I did a story time about my trip to Target and my interaction with this interracial couple. It's actually one of my pen videos, but I'm sorry. I'm laughing because like I really had fellas like pissed off about this. So in the video, I was talking about my interaction with the interracial couple. And at the end of the video, I was like, if a white woman can have you, then I don't want you. And when I tell you, I had these dudes, boxers in a bunch. Like, they were so upset. But the thing is, I know this doesn't apply, like, to every black man who dates outside their race. But black women been peeped this. We've been peeped like the self-hatred. We've been peeped all of, we know already. That's why even myself, when a black man tells me, oh, he dated a whole bunch of them Beckys and shit, I'm out. Because I ain't got time. Like, I already know you got
shut your ass up.
What I'm about to do is project that shit onto me. I love these big ass looks. You're not about to project that goofy ass energy on me, and you're not about to release all that hatred that you got towards black women onto me. It's not going to happen. So I will prefer to love somebody who loves black women down, okay? And there's not a problem with that. Date who you want to date, love who you want to love. But if you cannot love who you want to love without telling us how much you hate black women, then there's a problem, sir. You need to unpack that.
What's funny about this is just y'all know I be fucking on some white hoes. I be fucking on some white hoes. And I've dated, how many white women have I dated in life? Plenty, but my high school sweetheart, first love was a white chick. And then when me and my ex, when we had broke up the first time, for a quick little bit, I was dating a white chick and I was fucking with her. And then after me and my ex broke up in 2020, I met a white chick and I wouldn't say we were dating, but we was kicking it. We was kicking it for a good little bit on and off and shit like that. But I can't lie, I feel little mama. And the reason why I feel her because when I used to be out with like white hoes and shit like that, I used to feel shame. I used to feel shame. And I wouldn't even look up. When I see like a group of black chicks coming to, I wouldn't even look at them. Cause I already know. I already know. I already know how they looking at me. I already know how they thinking. And really, in all honesty, they probably won't think about my black ass. But I couldn't help but just feel like, damn, like it won't nothing. I can't lie. I ain't gonna lie. It won't nothing worse than being with a white chick and getting caught with a white chick in front of black women. It won't nothing worse. But also, like Lil Mama said, this, I know it don't apply to all black men. I feel like I'm that nigga. Because especially after me, even though she was on, you feel me? But as an adult, because she was the first black chick that I dated as an adult. Now, granted, again, I'm 32 years old and I probably had real deal relationships since my, again, since high school, since my first love. I'll count that since it was my first love, but it was still high school. One, her, my other ex, who I'm still cool with, she was mixed, black and white. That was right after high school. Then I was dating for a few months in Korea, a Korean chick, but I'm in Korea, so that was only but so serious, but, you know, that was my little baby. So that's three. Then my ex, which was, like, in my opinion, like, my first, like, real, real deal relationship in a, as an adult, so that's four. So, yeah, I've only had four relationships, really, my whole life. Obviously, I had relationships in middle school and shit like that. But in high school, me and my high school sweetheart was dating for like 2-3 years. From my freshman year to my junior year. Yeah, from my freshman year to my junior year, we was dating. So I bring that up to say that once, because prior to my ex, who was black, prior to my ex, I did always really think, like, yeah, I'm probably going to get married to a white chick. And the reason why I always thought that is because, well, it just always seemed like, for whatever reason, that white hoes was just fucking with me. And I fucked with white hoes, too. I went to white school, so it's not like I'm not used, like, I'm used to being around white bitches. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just used to it. So it ain't nothing so foreign or whatever the case. Like, I can find what I like about white chicks and shit like that, whatever the case. And maybe because I did go to a white school and there was only a handful of black chicks, like it was a good grip, but still at the same time, it was really only a handful just in total. Never mind just the ones that I find attractive. You know what I'm saying? And most of the ones that I found attractive, they was really just the homegirls. Like, yeah, we would might flirt or whatever the case. Maybe I could have ran up in some of them, whatever the case may be, but it won't like that. It won't that, because maybe it was dating somebody else at the school, or maybe it was just fucking with the city, with the niggas in the city. They was fucking with city niggas and shit like that. So it just won't there. For real, really, it was just like, oh, all right, the white hoes just left. But again, really, I couldn't even really speak on that because, well, in high school, I was whatever. But even when my senior year, when I was getting, just catching my random nuts, fucking on this and that, it was mainly the others, not black women. Not to say I won't low-key putting in my bid, you know what I'm saying? But prior to that, I just always figured I would get married to a white chick and shit. But after dating my ex and really getting to feel that black, just nigga, I knew. And ever since then, and I still say it, like, I remember I was telling somebody, I was like, I ain't gonna lie to you. I can still see myself dating or marrying anyone, for real, for real. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, I can see it. But when it come to white hoes in particular, yeah, I might love her. Well, it probably ain't gonna be, you know, might, because if I'm in a relationship and getting married, like, of course I love her. But if it really was to happen, I'd probably be thinking to myself like, damn, Don, you really about to marry a white bitch? It would be a settle. Me marrying a white woman would be a settle. Because even after even dating or dealing with the white chicks that I did after my ex, it just always reaffirmed of like, oh yeah, like I can't really be in a relationship with no white bitch. Like I really just can't. Like it just the differences between culture and this and that, like I can't. Like, there's nothing about white culture that I'm just so interested in and this and that that I would want to marry into it. Like, there's nothing about white women that I would want my family, like, our families would join. There's just nothing about white culture that would make me, like, now, like, Mexicans, Hispanics, Latinos, Cubans, Colombians, some shit like that. Like, yeah, that, because even that's something new to me. Like, oh, We can salsa dance and their food and all this and that. Like, yeah, this would be a cool little blend. But my family and a white family, like, I just, for me, I don't know. Like I said, could I still see it on the table? Yes, I could. Do I still love having sex with white women? Yes, I do. I just don't know how hell bent I am on loving a white bitch. Now, and you know I love my dog. Getting married tomorrow. Y'all already know. All American white girl. My nigga Weezy. This definitely applies to my nigga Weezy. Weezy only want and only love white women. He don't want nothing else. And it's funny because we was talking about Candace Owens. He was getting on Candace Owens and how she just shits on black people and hate black people and all this and that and whatever, whatever. And I was like, Weezy, I ain't gonna lie to you, dog. I it's hard for me to take you serious on this standpoint knowing how you feel about white women. And then he go, well, that's totally my preference just because I prefer to, but my thing is, well, but why though? Like, yeah, the answer is always an easy answer. But why? Just the same way as a white woman that like only like black folk. Oh, I like niggas because I just like black. Okay, yeah, that's an easy answer. I asked you the question. That's just, oh, I just like black guys. I don't know. But why though? Why as a white woman do you want to date a black man? Like, that's your thing. Like, you like to date. Why? What really is the reason? Oh, it's just my, I understand it's just your preference, but why? What is it? What makes the preference just so strong? What is it? So yeah, I wasn't gonna dig too deep because I don't want to. One time for my dog, happy union, I love it. You know what I'm saying? But I had to laugh though because it's like, you know, like I hear you, Easy, but even if what you're saying about Candace Owens is true, well, at least she's standing on it with her white husband. But you over here talking this and that, and you still get married to a white woman. Like, whatever. But y'all know, I love my dog, so shout out to it. But the other thing that makes this funny about black women feeling like this is back to it again. White guys feeling the same goddamn way. If a white guy found out that, just like she said, if a Becky can have you, I don't want you. White nigga find out that motherfucking Devontae can have you, I don't want you. if Devontae can fucking have you. Bitch, get your ass out of here. That's why once your ass go black, you can't go back. You goddamn right. Your ass cannot go back. You stuck. You stuck. That's what I be wondering. I be wondering, like, I wonder if white women that has fucked with a few black guys but ends up, like, being in a, like, committed long-term relationship, even getting married to a white guy, I wonder if their partner knows that they've been with black guys before. Or is that kind of just something they just, like, take to their grave? Like, for an example, and this probably isn't because bro was black. It was more so of just of who the black guy was at the time. But I remember in middle school, and I ain't gonna say her name, but this girl who, truthfully, all the black guys did kind of like on the low, so-and-so really kind of got the juice, like on the low. Don't get me wrong, she got a little goofy-ass nature about her, like, there's something about her that just seems a little ditzy, but she kind of got the juice on the low, and she was low-key thick, kind of tall, nice little ass and legs, so we was already just attracted to that. So just on the low, just within the inner circle of black guys in middle school and high school and shit, we would be like, hey, but don't sleep on what's the name. So one time we all at a party, and I remember we was talking about Shorty, and we was like, remember when you was dating so-and-so? She was like, wait, what? No, I did. I never. And me and the homie Gilly was cracking up laughing because we was like, no, we definitely know for a fact that you was dating because it was between you and another chick. And we kept telling, he picked the other girl. But we kept telling him, like, nigga, you crazy if you don't pick so-and-so. You gonna pick her over her? You, wow, you tripping. So, like, me and Gilly are just dying laughing because we remember this. Like, we definitely remember this, but she was denying it to the T. She was denying it to the T. But she was dating somebody at the time. A white guy, this and that. But, so, again, I just wonder if it's kind of like to that effect of, like, if they are dating white guys at some point, do they just take to the grave of, like, nah, I ain't never been with a black guy. Like, you ain't, like, they just don't even speak on that. Like, what? I ain't never been with no black guy. I ain't never, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? When I get to work tomorrow, that's something I'm going to ask my young boy. Because he low-key a little redneck. He low-key a little redneck. I fuck with him, though. That's my dog, young nigga. I'm gonna ask him about, like, hey, yo, let me ask you a real question just to see how shit really is. Because I remember he showed me a picture one time of him dating a black. He said he dates all kind of chicks. Said he even dated a black chick before. And I was like, wait, what? For real? He showed it to me. Oh, damn. Like, she kind of, you feel me? Oh, so yeah. That's funny. It is funny how, I ain't gonna lie, it's in some aspects, and it's probably across the board with everybody, but it's sometimes it's funny that, like, just certain similarities when they do arise. Like, again, this is just a funny ass similarity that white men and black women have. Like, they share this same similarity. Like, that's fucking hilarious because, again, I can't really speak on it too hard for the white side. But like I said, as a black guy that has been seen in public, I've been out in the wild with a white woman before, I know how I be feeling when I see black women. I don't care even if it's a black woman that I know I'm not even attracted to. I still just kind of put my head down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I would feel that way if she was Asian. I don't think I would feel that way if she was Hispanic. I don't think, I'm only feeling that way if it's a white woman. That's it. So let me just say, black women out there, you ain't got to worry about that with me. If you seeing this, yes, I have dated white women before. Yes, I am known to dabble inside some white pussy. Yes. I've got way too much. Honestly, I have way too much experience in fucking on white bitches. But it is just sex. I love me some black women. And another reason why it can't count for me, because I really grew up around black women, bro. I really had black sisters, black cousins, black ass aunties, black mom, black grandma, black, like, I'm way too familiar with, and just like, I love, like, what, black homegirls and shit growing up, like, I don't even know how to explain it. I just got way too much love for black women to no, we ain't doing the self-hate, no. I'm a nigga. And I love it. Shit be rough sometime. Shit be tough sometime. It comes with its shit. But at the end of the day, when you see me, I want you to see me as a nigga. If you don't want to see me as a nigga, okay, you can see me as a black man. I'm cool with that too. I'm cool with both. But just know, I ain't trying to come through on no type of other shit. I ain't trying to be in other rooms, trying to look like I fit in with all, no. No. Wherever I'm at, I want to be there in my blackness. Not trying to make up for nothing, ain't trying to, you ain't, no. Black ladies, if you see this, I promise you with all of my heart, I am not one of them niggas. Yes, I am one of them niggas. I am. But I can promise you, I am not one of them. What that nigga Dusty say? Come on, we are not one of them. I'm not. Anyways, guys, this has been a good episode. The Wildin' for Respect podcast. I'm going to play one of my favorite TikToks right now before I get into song of the week. Not even sure what the song of the week is. What album have I been listening to all week? Let me go into my Apple right quick to see what I've been playing for the most part. Oh, okay. There we go. That's song of the week. But first, let me play this TikTok. Shout out my African niggas. Man, I would love the full version of this. Guys, my camera just died. Great timing. If you want to leave now on YouTube, you can. If you're listening through audio, doesn't even matter. We getting into the song of the week.
Poolside convo about your summer last night.
Ooh. Yeah. About your summer last night.
I give you no play. Could I make it shy last night? Could I make it shy on the last night?
Last night.
Could we make it in? Do we have time?
I'll be the boyfriend in your wet dreams tonight. Noses on a rail, little virgin wears the white. You can.
cut your hair, but she used to live a blinded life. Wish I was there, wish we'd grown up on the same advice. And our time was right. Some nights you dance with tears in your eyes. I came to visit, 'cause you see me like a UFO. That's like never. 'Cause I made you your self-control.
Guys, quick update. Like I just said, nigga, what you thought I was riding around listening to Love Lockdown? You thought I was riding around listening to Heartless? Nigga, no, I was playing Boosie. Ye responds, I just saw that Wipe Me Down was made in 2007. I take no responsibility for whatever that genre would be called. Because Boosie goes, not all genres, not every style, not Boosie music. You can't relate to nothing I rap about in your music. Nobody listens to Kanye in the projects or the trenches. I'm going to go ahead and say it. My people do not relate to you. I guess it is what it is, dog. I guess it is what it is. Like I said, nigga, I was listening to it. What? When 808s came out, nigga, no. I'm fucking knee deep in undeniable talent. Fuck y'all niggas talking about it and playing Adios every day. So, yeah, I like that. Shout out my nigga Boosie for holding it down. You hear me? Yeah. Fuck that. Matter of fact, nah. Song of the Week was definitely Self-Control. But nah, we finna get into a little bit of that undeniable. Let me just give you the first, you hear me? Let's just go ahead and get into that. All right, Rich Whitney.
Boosie Badass Bard.
What?
Has blood.
Bloodline, we do this in the yo, wake up and smell the coffee.
It's a new nigga in town. Gotta shake them haters off me. You know how Boosie get down.
It's been another great episode. Episode 175. The game of count.
I tried to get after him.
Wine is amazing. Jump up in that coochie and have that Boosie in the face.
If it's coming out my mouth, it's some real shit. A soldier, but I like soldier boy. I can't dance cause I keep a big knot in my pants. Straight up, you want some freak shit, call me. Some beat shit, call me. My dog, it's easy to see.
For you, Jack.